Hey, Boo. We are on to chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. This is called Grim Defeat. So if you remember, they've just found out that Sirius Black had broken in. Professor Dumbledore sent all the Gryffindors back to the Great Hall, where they were joined 10 minutes later by all the students from Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin, who all looked extremely confused. "The teachers and I need to conduct a thorough search of the castle," Professor Dumbledore told them, as Professor McGonagall and Flitwick closed all doors into the hall. "I'm afraid that, for your own safety, you will all have to spend the night here. I want the prefects to stand guard over the entrances to the hall, and I'm leaving the head boy or girl in charge. Any disturbance should be reported to me immediately," he added to Percy, who was looking immensely proud and important. "Send word with one of the ghosts." Professor Dumbledore paused, about to leave the hall, and said, "Oh yes, and you'll be needing..." One casual wave of his wand, and the long tables flew to the edges of the hall and stood themselves against the wall. Another wave, and the floor was covered with hundreds of squashy purple sleeping bags. "Sleep well," said Professor Dumbledore, closing the door behind him. The hall immediately began to buzz excitedly. The Gryffindors were telling the rest of the school what had just happened. "Everyone into their sleeping bags," shouted Percy. "Come on, now, no more talking. Lights out in 10 minutes. "Come on," Ron said to Harry and Hermione. They seized 3 sleeping bags and dragged them into the corner. And you know what Ron and Hermione were going to do in one of those. Sorry, you don't like that, do you? Anyways, they're like 13. 13-year-old boys and girls don't have sleepovers, right? Do they? I don't know. I didn't. Maybe you did. "Do you think Black's still in the castle?" Hermione whispered anxiously. "Dumbledore obviously thinks he might be," said Ron. "It's very lucky he picked tonight, you know," said Hermione, as they climbed, fully dressed, into their sleeping bags and propped themselves on their elbows to talk. "The one night we weren't in the tower." "I reckon he's lost track of time, being on the run," said Ron. "Didn't realize it was Halloween. Otherwise, he'd have come bursting in here." Hermione shuddered. All around them, people were asking one another the same question. How did he get in? "Maybe he just knows how to apparate," said a Ravenclaw a few feet away. "Just appear out of thin air, you know." "Disguised himself, probably," said a Hufflepuff fifth year. "He could have flown in," suggested Dean Thomas. "Honestly, am I the only person who's ever bothered to read Hogwarts A History?" said Hermione crossly to Harry and Ron. "Probably," said Ron. "Why?" "Because this castle's protected by more than walls, you know," said Hermione. "There are all sorts of enchantments on it to stop people from entering by stealth. You can't just apparate in here, and I'd like to see the disguise that could fool those Dementors. They're guarding every single entrance to the grounds. They'd have seen him fly in, too. And Filch knows all the secret passageways. They'll have him covered." "The lights are going out now," Percy shouted. "I want everyone in their sleeping bags, and no more talking." The candles went out at once. The only light now came from silvery ghosts who were drifting about, talking seriously to the prefects, and the enchanted ceiling, which, like the sky outside, was scattered with stars. What with that and the whispering that still filled the hall, Harry felt as though he were sleeping outdoors in a light wind. Once every hour, a teacher would reappear in the hall to check that everything was quiet. Around 3 in the morning, when many of the students had fallen asleep, Professor Dumbledore came in. Harry watched him looking around for Percy, who had been prowling between the sleeping bags, telling people off for talking. Percy was only a short way from Harry, Ron, and Hermione, who quickly pretended to be asleep as Dumbledore's footsteps drew nearer. "Any sign of him, Professor?" Percy asked in a whisper. "No, all well here?"
"Everything under control, sir."
"Good. There's no point in moving them all now. I found a temporary garden for the Gryffindor portrait hole. You'll be able to move them back in tomorrow."
"And the fat lady, sir?"
"Hiding in a map of Argyleshire.
from some city, right? On the second floor. Apparently, she refused to let Black in without the password, so he attacked. She's very distressed, but once she's calmed down, I'll have Mr. Filch restore her. Harry heard the door of the hall creak open, and more footsteps. Headmaster. It was Snape. Harry kept quite still, listening hard. The whole third of the floor has been searched. He's not there. And Filch has done the dungeons. Nothing there either. What about the astronomy tower? Professor Trelawney's room? The Owlery? All searched. Very well, Severus. I didn't expect Black to linger. Have you any theory how he's got in, Professor? Asked Snape. Harry raised his head very slightly off his arms to free his other ear. Many, Severus, each of them as unlikely as the next. Harry opened his eyes a fraction and squinted up to where they stood. Dumbledore's back was to him, but he could see Percy's face, rapt with attention, and Snape's profile, which looked angry. You remember the conversation we had, Headmaster, just before the start of the term? Said Snape, who was barely opening his lips, as though trying to block Percy out of the conversation. I do, Severus, said Dumbledore, and there was something like warning in his voice. It seems almost impossible that Black could have entered the school without inside help, said Snape. I did express my concerns when you appointed. I do not believe a single person inside this castle would have helped Black enter it, said Dumbledore, and his tone made it so clear that the subject was closed that Snape didn't reply. I must go down to the Dementors, said Dumbledore. I said I would inform them when our search was complete. Didn't they want to help, sir? Said Percy. Oh, yes, said Dumbledore coldly. But I'm afraid no Dementor will cross the threshold of this castle while I am headmaster. Percy looked slightly abashed. Dumbledore left the hall, walking quickly and quietly. Snape stood for a moment, watching the headmaster with an expression of deep resentment on his face. Then he too left. Harry glanced sideways at Ron and Hermione. Both of them had their eyes open, too, reflecting the starry ceiling. What was that all about? Ron mouthed. The school talked of nothing but Sirius Black for the next few days. The theories about how he entered the castle became wilder and wilder. Hannah Abbott from Hufflepuff spent much of their next herbology class telling anyone who'd listen that Black could turn into a flowering shrub. The fat lady's ripped canvas had been taken off the wall and replaced with the portrait of Sir Cadogan and his grey fat pony. Nobody was very happy about this. Sir Cadogan spent half his time challenging people to duels, and the rest thinking up ridiculously complicated passwords, which he changed at least twice a day. He's a complete lunatic, said Seamus Finnegan angrily to Percy. Can't we get anyone else? None of the other pictures wanted the job, said Percy, frightened of what happened to the fat lady. Sir Cadogan was the only one brave enough to volunteer. Sir Cadogan, however, was the least of Harry's worries. He now was being closely watched. Teachers found excuses to walk along corridors with him, and Percy Weasley, acting, Harry suspected, on his mother's orders, was tailing him everywhere like an extremely pompous guard dog. To cap it all off, Professor McGonagall summoned Harry into her office, with such a somber expression on her face that Harry thought someone must have died. "There's no point in hiding it from you any longer, Potter," she said in a very serious voice. "I know this will come as a shock to you, but Sirius Black..." "I know he's after me," said Harry wearily. "I heard Ron's dad telling his mum. Mr. Weasley works for the Ministry of Magic." Professor McGonagall seemed very taken aback. She stared at Harry for a moment or two and then said, "I see. Well, in that case, Potter, you'll understand why I don't think it's a good idea for you to be practicing Quidditch in the evening. Out in the field with only your team members, it's very exposed. Potter..." "We've got our first match on Sunday," said Harry, outraged. "I've got to train, Professor." Professor McGonagall considered him intently. Harry knew she was deeply interested in the Gryffindor's team's prospects. It had been she, after all, who'd suggested him as seeker. In the first place, he waited, holding his breath. Professor McGonagall stood up and stared out of the window at the Quidditch field, just visible through the rain. Well, goodness knows I'd like to see us win the cup at last. But all the same, Potter, I'd be happier if a teacher were present. I'll ask Madame Hooch to oversee your training. The weather worsened steadily as the first Quidditch match drew nearer. Undaunted, the Gryffindor team was training harder than ever under the eye of Madame Hooch. Then, at their final training session before Saturday's match, Oliver Wood gave his team some unwelcome news. "We're not playing Slytherin," he told them, looking very angry. "Flint's just been to see me. We're playing Hufflepuff instead." "Why?" chorused the rest of the team. "Flint's excuse is that their seeker's arm is injured," said Wood, grinding his teeth furiously. "But it's obvious why they're doing it. Don't want to play in this weather. Think it'll damage their chances." There had been strong winds and heavy rain all day, and as Wood spoke, they heard a distant rumble of thunder. "There's nothing wrong with Malfoy's arm," said Harry furiously. "He's faking it." "I know that, but we can't prove it," said Wood bitterly. "And we've been practicing all those moves, assuming we're playing Slytherin. Instead, it's Hufflepuff, and their style is quite different. They've got a new captain and seeker, Cedric Diggory." Angelina, Alicia, and Katie suddenly giggled. "What?" said Wood, frowning at this lighthearted behavior. "He's that tall, good-looking one, isn't he?" said Angelina. "Strong and silent," said Katie, and they started to giggle again. "He's only silent because he's too thick to string two words together," said Fred impatiently. "I don't know why you're worried, Oliver. Hufflepuff is a pushover. Last time we played them, Harry caught the snitch in about 5 minutes, remember?" "We were playing in completely different conditions," Wood shouted, his eyes bulging slightly. "Diggory's put a very strong side together. He's an excellent seeker. I was afraid you'd take it like this. We mustn't relax. We must keep our focus. Slytherin is trying to wrong-foot us. We must win." "Oliver, come down," said Fred, looking slightly alarmed. "We're taking Hufflepuff very seriously. Very seriously." I think we may end there, because... yeah, there's quite a bit left, and there's not another good spot, I think. So, tomorrow, we will continue, and we'll see how the match goes. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to go very well, but... we'll see anyways. And I think I screwed up Oliver's accent again. So I don't know. It goes in and out. So anyways, I hope you like that, my boo. I love you so much. I'm going to call you right now. Because you're very sweet. I want to talk to you. You're so cute. I love you very much. Sleep well, boo. Good night.